Our Faith IRL speaker today is Ed Cooney, and I'm excited to have Ed sharing his story, or at least a portion of it, with us today, because there are two things I know about Ed. The first is that he has lived a real life. Not a perfect, shiny life, but a real life. And the second is that Ed has been around long enough to be willing to tell it like it is. Have no doubt that Ed that you will hear from today is authentic and honest. He's real. Now, I could tell you a few stories about Ed myself, stories that he's told me. He's getting nervous now. But those aren't my stories to tell. Instead, I want you to introduce Ed with a story about him that he may not even be aware of. As you may know, Ed is very active in our community, even now after his retirement from retirement. He has particularly served in and among the mental health community as an activist, a mentor, and most importantly, a friend. Well, about 4 years ago, a man and his wife began attending church here. Let's call him Jeff. And I remember meeting Jeff the first Sunday he visited with us, and it was the usual, "Hi, I'm Amy, we're glad to have you worship with us today." And in that first conversation, he happened to mention that he knew Ed Cooney, and he pointed to him across the room. And I wasn't surprised, because Ed gets around town and he knows a lot of people. Well, a month or so later, I was in a longer, deeper conversation with Jeff, and it came around to why he had begun attending church here. What had brought him through the doors after a long time of not setting foot in a church or having much interest in religion, maybe not even in God. And y'all, what Jeff said to me was, "You know, I had just gotten to know Ed pretty well, and I'd watched, and the way he lives, what he does, how he treats people, made me want to know more about his church, about his God." Y'all, it is my honor to welcome Ed to the pulpit this morning. This is a man who lives his faith in real life.
Thank you, Ed.
He's come to live with me, and I don't care for that. That happens to a lot of people, but especially as you put on a few more years. Scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by faith and grace he has saved you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not the results of works, so he has made us created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." And that's the word of the Lord. Well, Joshua and Amy buttonholed me and said, "It's your turn to talk about your journey of faith. So you're going to hear my journey of faith." But before we think it, I'd like to understand just what we're talking about, the word faith. Faith in a religious sense is a strong belief that God is my Father, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and my Lord and Savior, and that the Holy Spirit lives within me. And that the Holy Spirit is based on a spiritual apprehension rather than proof or in the doctrines of a faith or of a religion. Okay, now we have that understood. At least I do. If that's not your understanding of faith, you can volunteer to come up here in the future and give your story. I was 3 years old. My parents were both very strong members of the Presbyterian Church. They took me to Sunday school. They taught me to say my prayers before going to bed and before dinner. But you know, I had no clue who God was, and I didn't know a thing about this guy, Jesus, and where he fit into the picture. But when I was about nine, her class that year started studying the Bible with Genesis, in the beginning. We learned how God formed the earth and made man and made woman. We learned about the garden, the forbidden fruit, and sin. I learned that well. She then gently walked us through the Exodus and a few other Old Testament stories. And then that way we learned about God's promises to his people and his people's failures to live up to their promises. She spent a good bit of time on Jesus' birth in the New Testament. I remember particularly, I was interested in the Gospel of John, especially the first verse in the beginning. My faith was beginning to develop at that time. Her class ended in May, just as the school year ended, and she ended the class with the Easter story. My appetite for learning was whetted. Every Christmas, I did a service for my family, bless their dear hearts. I would read the Christmas story from one of the Gospels. I have a prayer. My mother played the piano, so we'd play the piano and sing carols. And then I gave my version of a sermon. That's why I lost my brother and sisters. They stayed with me until they got into high school. And then they had too many other interests to listen to the kid brother try to become a preacher. Pastors in my church. He started a 2-year study of the Bible, kiver to kiver, as they say. He did that every Sunday morning for 2 years. Unfortunately, in high school, my main interests were my girlfriend, golf, and basketball in that order. So I didn't get to. But my girlfriend, she went to a different church than I did, so when she was in church, I did have an opportunity to go to most of his classes. I even participated in the Illinois Young Presbyterian Association group. I even served as moderator of that for a period of time, 1 year. Then I graduated from high school and started college. I occasionally went to class. But my main pursuits at that time were golf and girls. My high school girlfriend had jilted me by that time, so my interests were girls with an S. And my other interest, golf, provided them. I made quite a bit of money playing golf. But I spent quite a bit of money on the girls, too. My faith journey at that time, it took a major pause. I did take a couple of religion courses in college, one of them, one being Major Religions of the World. I found that class quite interesting and actually attended that class fairly regularly. That class had a profound effect on my faith journey. I had an opportunity at that time to question and then strengthen my faith against the faiths of other doctrines or beliefs. Incidentally, being jilted by my high school girlfriend was the second best thing that ever happened to me. My pursuits of other girls ended my senior year when I met a darling little brown-eyed sophomore named Sally. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Could I have an amen on that? because of Sally's upbringing and knowledge of the Bible, my faith took some giant leaps forward just being around her. And we graduated from college. I did. I graduated from Officer Candidate School, U.S. Navy Officer Candidate School, and Sally and I got married. I won't tell you what she went through. Well, yes, I will. I proposed to her on Christmas when I was home on leave, and she graciously accepted. And then we planned to have a wedding sometime later. Well, I got back to OCS and found out when I graduated where I was going to be stationed. So I called and I said, let's get married right now before we go to Hawaii. So I gave her, I think, 2 weeks to plan a wedding. So we got married and spent our first year of our honeymoon while I was stationed at the U.S. Navy submarine base in Pearl Harbor. We went from Pearl Harbor to several different stations in the Navy, Pearl and New London, Connecticut, and Key West, Florida, and Charleston, South Carolina. So we went to many different churches. But because of my work, I didn't really go to church that often. But I'll tell you what, though, a person's faith can be sometimes tested at 400 feet beneath the surface of the ocean when things aren't going exactly as planned and the ocean is coming into your ship faster than your pumps can get rid of it. You've heard of foxhole prayers? Well, I started flooding prayers, and it worked because we never sank. We always got back to home. Sally and I really enjoyed our Navy career. We met a lot of really good friends, and our family was doubled while we were in the Navy. See, the Navy gave us two boys, two miracles. Our first miracle was born when we were in New London, Connecticut. Our second miracle was born while we were in Key West, Florida. First one was John, the second one was Eddie. Two stations, two boys. See, I wasn't at sea all the time. Following our Navy service, we moved into civilian life back into our hometown, Decatur, Illinois. We joined the first Presbyterian Church of Decatur, which was the church in which I was raised. I picked up on my faith journey then again. I was ordained a deacon and became quite active in the church. And our third miracle, Thomas, was born while we were in Decatur. Three boys, three cities. In 1961, we moved to Dallas, and we joined the Northminster Presbyterian Church in our neighborhood, Lake Highlands, Dallas. I was ordained an elder and had the privilege of laying my hands on my wife, Sally, as she was ordained a deacon, and then a few years later, an elder. We both became very active in the church. We both taught Sunday school. Sally taught, as you can guess, preschool. And I taught junior high and then high school kids. And it was there that I was introduced by one of the high school girls in my class. I was introduced to her friend, Jesus. I too became a friend of Jesus, another step in my faith journey. At that time I was elected to a pastor nominating committee, which presented another real test to my faith. I learned that the Presbyterian process for calling a pastor can be a rocky road and a serious test to my faith. We completed the call and called the pastor, and then I really got a test of my faith because some of our members didn't care for that pastor, and some of the things they were saying about him and doing to him caused me to almost leave the church. But I decided the Holy Spirit instructed me to stay and fight for what I believed in my church. Due to actions of our General Assembly over the past 50 years, my faith has been tested again to keep me in the church, but I have always decided to stay in my church and fight for the church I love and still believe in as a strong, missionary-oriented and loving Christ and biblical-centered denomination. And that's still why I fight to keep our membership in PCUSA. There's a lot of mistakes they make, but there's a lot of good they do. My Dallas pastor enrolled me in a new program up there in our presbytery up there back in 1997. It was a 2-year weekend study school to become a commissioned lay pastor. I was still working and traveling all over the country with my company and staying many, many nights in hotel rooms. That gave me a lot of opportunity to study at night. And one night, while I was studying, I got completely mixed up. I didn't know what I was reading. I couldn't put it together. I became very, very discouraged, very, very frustrated. So I put my books down and had a little chat with God. I said, God, you put me into this program. I need to know if this is where you still want me to be and want me to do. And I learned at that time, don't ask God for a favor if you're not prepared to hear the answer. Because as soon as I finished my prayer, I felt a hand on my shoulder. I'm alone in a hotel room. I felt a hand on my shoulder. I glanced around, and friends, my friend Jesus Christ was there with his hand on my shoulder. Kaboom! Talk about a jolt to your faith and to your system. But it was Jesus Christ there for a couple of seconds only. Well, you can believe that I finished my course and became a qualified to become a commissioned lay pastor. I got God's message. You better believe that. Sally and I then moved to here to San Marcos. We joined this church. Oh, yeah, thank you. She wasn't here when I wrote this. I have that in there, but I was getting to it, but yes, in Dallas, we had our fourth son, Miracle David. Four sons, four cities. Then we moved, but is it all right if I go? Then we moved down there to San Marcos and joined the Presbyterian Church that we're in right now. And at that time, Mission Presbytery commissioned me to become the pastor of the congregation at the First Presbyterian Church of Luling. Sally and I served those wonderful, loving, generous people for some 8 years, loving every moment of it. And we've loved every moment of our membership here in First Presbyterian Church of San Marcos. Someone asked me once, what all I did for the church, what all I've done in the church. And I said, well, you know, I think I've done everything except sing in the choir. The choir director happened to be standing by, and he said, for which we're all very thankful. It wasn't Jack. It was another choir. Jack's too kind to say that. Well, now you've heard the story of my journey of faith up to date. I'm sure looking forward to the next step in my journey of faith and hope that it's as exciting as all the past steps have been. Amen. I'm going to sit here. Well, baby, 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 well, ba